Last week we discussed that vocally tumultuous rite of spring, rallying and mating of frogs and toads. This common but unusual occurrence is as much a part of the cycle of the seasons as is the migration of waterfowl or the blooming of trillium and hepatica, and it's something anyone can see. Fully as interesting and unusual, but much more difficult to observe, and therefore hardly known at all, are the courtship rituals of those silent cousins of the frogs and toads, the salamanders. The salamanders are a diverse lot, some very colorful, others quite obscure, but all possessed of a certain grace of form and movement, which exceeds that even of the frogs and toads. Salamanders mostly have terete, tapering bodies, with long tails and short, sprawling legs. Not the classic amphibian form as we view it, more lizard-like than not. In fact, once on a field trip, a man, seeing a salamander for the first time, described it to me as a chubby, shiny, slimy lizard. While that description is hardly calculated to warm the hearts of salamander enthusiasts, it does have a certain aptness. The differences, however, between reptile and amphibian make it possible for reptiles to survive in dry places far from standing water, whereas all but a few species of amphibians must make annual pilgrimages to streams and ponds for egg laying. It's these annual pilgrimages which provide us with our topic of discussion today. Last week, I pointed out that male frogs merely spew the sperm-laden milk into the water immediately over the eggs, allowing gravity and the vigorous action of the sperm to achieve the fertilization. This is called external fertilization, and it works well enough for a creature in which a female produces several thousand fertilizable eggs annually. With salamanders, the number of eggs vary from less than a dozen to about 100. A few species may lay as many as 500 annually. It is not surprising that a more efficient method of fertilization, internal fertilization, is a rule with salamanders, and it is the need for a behavior pattern which will achieve this more efficient fertilization that provides the strange actions to which I refer. Salamanders do not copulate as do most animals with internal fertilization. Instead, they perform a little courtship dance during which the sperm are transferred in a most unusual way. To see what we're talking about, let's make a trip to a woodland pond of a warm spring evening. A gentle rain or mist will help to encourage the salamanders. We can locate the pond just from the sound made by the rallying spring peepers. We play our flashlight over the ground until we catch a glint of movement. Then we see a round-headed, plump salamander, nearly black with prominent yellow spots scattered over its body. A spotted salamander. As it sprawls along across the forest floor, we can see that it is nearly 6 inches long, its head almost an inch wide. It goes directly to the pond, where others of its kind are waiting. As we stand at pool's edge trying to see what is going on down in the water, several other salamanders enter the pond. Determining exactly what is happening is difficult, but we can see that several pairs of salamanders are moving about, their tails undulating rhythmically. Not all who have studied these big salamanders agree on the details of courtship, but all agree that the male, standing beside the female or even clasping her with its forelegs, carefully rubs her throat and head with his snout. This is a preparatory action, a kind of amphibian foreplay. It prepares the female for the male's next strange action. He moves forward with measured step over the pond bottom, depositing at regular intervals tiny stalked spermatophore over the sticks and stones. The female follows close behind, maintaining contact with the male and picking up the spermatophores with the lips of her cloaca, her anal body chamber, where fertilization takes place. Then, after a proper interval, the female seeks out a suitable vertical stalk and deposits one by one the fertilized, pea-sized eggs. She places them in a small, compact mass of perhaps 100 eggs. It may take her an hour or more to do her work. During the whole process, the rhythmical movement of tail and body lend a certain air of grace to the performance. If we return in about 4 weeks, we'll find the salamanders gone, but the egg mass, now nearly 4 inches in diameter, displays half-inch-long larval salamanders, nearly ready to hatch. At hatching, they have prominent gills, which they will retain for about 3 months. At that point, we usually lose sight of them, but with luck, they will continue to grow and return to the pond in another season in search of a mate. That's all I have for this week. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.